stone, what good would the use of a vote be if all opinions were already formed before coming? I mean, that would just reflect what the audience felt necessarily.
Well, but on the other hand, I guess I would respond to that by saying that certainly 50 years ago, everyone thought the issue of abortion was decided. It was, you know, murder, and there was nothing more anyone could do about it. And that a process occurred which created a kind of sea change in the way people looked at that issue. That process involved not a Supreme Court decision. The Supreme Court decision, Roe versus Wade, occurred at the crest of the wave. It did not cause the ocean of public opinion to start undulating. It came at a time when many people had discussed that issue in context where it was not easy to discuss it, where it was dangerous to discuss it, until the issue became, and I understand your point. I think it's a good point, but I guess what I'm saying is one of the roles of public debate is to keep alive a tradition of we decide what the issues are that are facing our country, not Congress, not the Supreme Court. We do, and we do it here in this local community context. Yes?
I just think sometimes like a vote may be even impractical if you have a large audience, but more than that, it kind of depends upon the audience and the format for the debate to begin with. If there's like a large, it's highly audience interactive, a vote may be pervasive or like counter what you're actually trying to achieve, which is a public discussion or like a formation of ideas, whereas a vote is going to make people decide instantaneously.
Watch this. Who here is afraid of a vote at public debates? Two. Who here thinks giving the audience a chance to let their opinion be known at the end of the debate is a good idea? Just a lesson in polling, I guess.
But see, I voted for both.
I know.
It's a great vote.
Also, the way that you can learn to vote, let's say, issue, like, gentlemen in the black actor, child abuse or something, there's an issue that really concerns the community, let's say, with the institution or school. You can vote, you can have the audience vote, and turn it into some sort of like a loophole, like, 85% of people, believe in this, or 15% believe that. Mm-hmm. So not so much that 85 people want like this and 15 people want like that, it's just more of a percentage, so we know as a community or a city or a state or whatever to decide what we need to improve or not to even change at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing, I'd ask this question. Should we ask for a hand vote or ask the audience, all in favor, stand up, so that everybody can be seen voting on the issue? Who thinks that's a good idea? The revealed vote, as we call it, What we're so used to the privacy of the ballot box. At our debate, you're going to have to stand up for what you believe in. You have to stand up and vote. Is that a good idea or a bad idea?
You can. I guess it could go either way. Yeah. It depends upon the person's self-confidence, I guess, within them. But a question I have is, since it is a public debate and since your audience is pretty much going to be made up of common citizenry, why a vote in the first place? Because they're not a legislative body, therefore they can't change anything immediately with that one vote. I think that the vote is going to be more of just the idea of these two conflicts of interest coming together, and they vote with, shall we say, within themselves. They judge their values and their beliefs against another set, and they amend them, and they tweak them just a little bit more, and they come off a better person because they said, okay, this is the way I believe, but they said, this was the way I believe, but now I have added this idea or mm-hmm. have accepted this.
Or maybe just made up their mind.
Right.
Maybe the debate brings them to a point where they feel as if, I've made up my mind on this issue. I have been persuaded, or of all those ways in which I've felt about it or thought about it before, somehow something has focused for me, this process. And that's what we were talking about again at the beginning, that the process of debate can be a very elucidating process, and that just being forced to put your ideas in a format that's presentable and persuasive, someone else is doing the same on the other side, that clash can help people come to decisions for the first time. One point you made, I'll get to you in just a second. Common citizenry, I submit they would be uncommon. If we invite them to a public debate on an issue and they come, they are uncommon people. but it really doesn't take a lot of people when you find uncommon people to make change. You know, they start meeting with one another, talking, become friends, and organize around issues, and things change. They do. Let me ask in the back.
I was just wondering if the point of this hypothetical vote would then be to measure what the audience thinks, or to find out whether or not either side was particularly effective or persuasive.
Well, that's a good point. Good point. You know, you should just ask me a question. You should say, vote for what? Right? Vote for the debaters? Vote for what? Vote for the debaters? Vote for the issue? That's a very good point. Yes, Mark?
Well, I was going to say, tying in with that question and with point number five, in the UK there's much more of a tradition of having the final debate or tournament as a public debate. Mm-hmm. And that certainly happens at the World Championships, for example, where the final is in front of, you know, the 1,500 people who are there. So in that particular situation, items 5 and 7, the audience inclusion of the vote, serve two purposes. One of them is to give the judges time to make a decision.
Yeah.
The judges go off, there are floor speeches, there's lots of, you know, brouhaha, there's voting that takes place, you know, in Britain there are gowns and swords and songs, you know, and as much tradition as you can squeeze into an open-panelled room. And then, you know, the other issue is that final one that you just said, are you voting for the team who was the best, in which case the audience is setting itself up to disagree with the great and the good judges who you've wheeled in, or are you voting for the issue itself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, if you're going for a public parliamentary debate, then, you know, you have to decide that issue as well.
Right.
I was just going to say that I think that it comes down to the way that you word it. Like, if you say, okay, we want you to vote, or okay, we want you to show your opinion, or mm-hmm. we want you to judge, I think each three of those words show that you're going to be doing something differently.
Mm-hmm.
I think that impacts what you're doing, and it definitely impacts the audience inclusion and how they're going to respond mm-hmm. to it.
That's a good point. Now, I tie these together, too. if you want them to be included, you should give them a vote.
What? As you said, I think this is definitely kind of contextual. You know, it depends on what you're doing. I think I can come up with a couple examples where you would want to have a vote. Say you've got someone's running for a position like student senate or something, and you have a debate between the two candidates for the student senate, then of course you want to have a vote. It'd be nice to have a vote immediately after it and vote who's going to be going to get the position. Or secondarily, if it were, say, a city council and there were two people giving pros and cons on an issue, you would want the city councilman, if they voted, to stand up and be recognized
okay.
for which direction they were,
right.
were voting.
That's a good point. Just in this context, just again to use as an interesting example to me, this debate I was talking about before on military intervention. Now, if you had sat there as I did and listened to the questions from the audience, actual almost speeches becoming questions, people getting very upset emotionally, you would have bet it was a 90-10 vote. The vote was about 60-40. And I was very surprised because the 40% who were in favor of military intervention as presented in that debate were not as vocal in that period. But they stood up and voted their side of the issue. And there's something about a vote that is kind of sui generis. It really makes people say, am I willing to stand up for what I believe in, even if it appears most of the people in this auditorium are against me? And it's, and again, and if they do, which they did in this debate, you know, 40% of them stood up and said, no, I think, you know, the conservative group is right here. That when they do, that's what we're doing this for. For that person who then has the courage to stand up and say, this is what I believe in. Because, you know, that's the educated citizen, the educated person who can stand up for what they believe in. That's what we're all relying on. Yes, Mark?
I think it's also very important to bear in mind that the debate as a as an entity forces people, or doesn't force people, it makes people black and white to start off with, but it also concentrates on the vocal minority. And quite often we forget the fact that, you know, what is it, 9 out of 10 people, 8 out of 10 people are communication apprehensive in some way, shape or form. They don't like standing up and speaking. That doesn't give them any less of a right to express their opinion. And if 40% of your audience don't think that something's a good idea, but 90% of, you know, the vocal few have stood up and yelled about it, you know, you really have to kind of temper your opinions and bear in mind that there are people in the room who don't want to stand up and be counted in any way other than standing up and being counted. They're not prepared to yell and shout and,
right,
and be divisive about it.
Right. And that experience is just as meaningful as speaking. It's just as meaningful to the entire enterprise of the public debate that one person stands up and votes and does not say anything because they've been brought along. Yes.
Don't you think it depends upon a lot if you're trying to persuade your audience or just to motivate them to think about something?
I don't, because here, this tie-in makes all the sense in the world for me, which is audience inclusion in thinking, listening, hearing, synthesizing. This is the ultimate inclusion of the audience. You vote. That's what. I put down judges here for one reason. Sometimes this is a very good exercise at a university or something like that where you could get 2 judges, you know what I mean, from say a sociology department or a political science department or some other department, and have them sit, listen to the whole thing, and then have them stand up and announce to the audience what their vote is and defend it. You know, have the audience, you know, it's just another way to do the same kind of back and forth involvement of the audience. Depending upon your time. Then as 8, I put down experts, and John has already talked about this. I think it's a very good thing. Sometimes, you know, if you use this position, okay, Y1 is expert, N2, N1 is expert, Y2 is student, N2 is student, YR, rebuttal, NR, you choose. You want the student to do it or the expert, you know what I mean? That format works very well. You get professors who people know. Yes?
Are we making the assumption that for the student couldn't be an expert?
Oh, no, yeah, you're right. Of course the student could be an expert. Right. But, you know, if the student's expertise covers, but then maybe we have student to student. But the point being, this is somebody who is recognized in the community, the mayor, okay? This is somebody who's recognized in the community, the head of the environmental group against any more strip malls, you know what I mean? And so they are, quote, experts. Whether they're experts or not, they're recognized in the community. Now, they come in and make the first speech, easy to do, and then take somebody from your debate team to do the second speech after the negative opposition, second speech here, and you know, either allow the expert to do the rebuttal, or that's a format that includes experts from your community, you know, and it really is a kind of a good format for public debates. 9th thing I've put down here is video, audio, visual, and this kind of ties together broadcasts, but it's not really. Video, audio, visual aids. Should we use them in public debates? And I guess, you know, you only have to ask yourself, are they using them in courtrooms to influence juries? Of course they are, because this is how we get information now. We get it visually, we get it through computers that project onto screens, and that when someone walks in and says, I have a little video I want you to watch about clear cutting in America, which is destroying America's forests.
lights go down, picture comes up, beautiful forest, 6 weeks later, and it looks like somebody had skin grafts, you know what I mean? This is immediate impact, you know what I mean? Without saying any words at all. Just stand there and watch it. So for public debates, is that good? It's great if you can pull it off. Yes?
Don't you always run the risk of having, for instance, a lack of funds on a certain side, though?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in this kind of opportunity should, it's a very good point, be made available to both sides or restricted to not to be used. Yes?
To go off of that, I would also encourage preparation. I just watched a public debate between somebody, they were trying to get millions of dollars from the state, and some fellow did a slide projection, and you couldn't read anything on any of his slides. And he looked like a fool. So you got to make sure.
That is so true. Practice and make sure you can do it, because when it doesn't work, it's very embarrassing. Audio also, you know, can be used, visual aids. Now, the last thing I wanted to talk about, because I'm out of time, is broadcasts, because as you know, as you see, the lovely Greta is here filming our presentation today, and that with digital cameras and the ability to basically live broadcast public debates. Now that requires pretty sophisticated facilities at your school. A lot of schools have them. Here we're able to use the mainframe computer for storage, and we get some breaks that way. But live broadcasts on the internet are a reality, you know. And to take a public debate and advertise it as available at this site, live on the internet, send in your email questions and they'll be read by the moderator. All of a sudden your audience is, you know, and that kind of availability. The other thing is public interest stations wherever you live, they have to do this stuff. They need material all the time. The one here has us doing a half hour whatever they call
Flashpoint.
Flashpoint. Yes, I've been only been on like 20 of them. I can't remember. Flashpoint, which is we sit down in a chair and talk about what we want to talk about that week, and it's on the television. You know, three or four times. They'll also come and film these public debates, and they'll play them on the public access channel for free. They'll do it for you. Yes.
I had a question about public debate. The only public debate I've ever seen, I guess, would be a political. Mm-hmm. Debate, but how closely does like CNN's Talkback Live approximate a public debate?
I don't think it does at all. I think, you know, there what you're trying to do is you're, I don't know, they beat down an issue. It's as I said at the beginning, a public debate is not competition. It's where the teams are working to bring the audience in to a discussion of an issue. And it's very different than competition, where you would share your evidence, which you're going to read, where you would be sure that there was clash and answer on the issues that you're raising, okay? Because you want the audience to follow that and to see both sides and to follow the synthesis and the conclusions that are drawn in rebuttals and to see how an argument flows through a debate. And that's more important than one side appearing to be better debaters than the other. And so, you know, that's the difference that I see. I mean, a really good public debate. Now, that's not true when you bring these people in. They want to win. Any more questions? I don't want to use up your time, though. You have a great round. Thank you.